Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One is Mark and John's the co-host. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I'm so excited for our delightful returning guest. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
They're an actor, writer, comedian you've seen on Hacks and Play It by Ear on Dropout TV. And they're also the co-host of the podcast Drag Her and We Love Trash. It's Mono Agapian.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you, my gays?
Good.
Still gay.
Hi, gay.
Hi, gay.
I just long to throw a slice of pizza at your face, much like my gay idol, Katy Perry.
She did throw pizza at people at a gay club. It wasn't like this was like a month
what
ago.
What happened? What did they do to deserve it?
No, you know, what's weird was it was shown as a sign. It was like, look, I ordered a big pizza and I'm going to throw slices at you.
That's not how you distribute pizza, Katie.
You get a slice. You get a slice. She doesn't.
Yeah,
know.
She doesn't.
All the food is just brought to her. She just doesn't.
And look, she doesn't have a goddamn clue what's going on. And
I mean, have you heard her most recent albums? Yeah, we can tell. Smile? No thanks. Mostly blank stares.
Oh, once it's really over, I guess it's really over. I hope so.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting thought.
Wise words, Katy Perry. I saw her parents at Mendocino Farms. You know, the Mendocino on Santa Monica Boulevard in La Brea? That one by the Target?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because her parents, her father dresses head to toe in like True Religion.
Ew.
And someone told me that's Katy Perry's father.
Oh, gotcha.
Ew. That's so embarrassing.
They're just like very former Christians who are now very Hollywood.
Ugh, I'd rather my father be Chris Watts and he try to drown me in a drum of oil.
I think that's most people's harsh fashion critique, but.
No, I'm serious. Chris Watts, which by the way, did you guys hear Chris Watts had a gay lover too?
Wow.
Do we know who Chris Watts is? You probably don't.
I do. I saw that document. The
what documentary is this?
I forget what it's called. It's about a family annihilator.
Yeah, he's just a horrible bad man. But there's so much footage of his lies, which is what makes it really captivating. His wife and two children disappeared. And then it was so easy to prove he killed them all.
Fun.
It was hilarious. Well,
thanks for
really
the fun.
Fun. I want to talk about dead children.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to ask you this, Mono.
Yeah.
This is our final Five Cold Screams of the year.
Oh, my God.
We're putting horror to bed after this. But I did want to ask you, could you date someone? And John, feel free to jump in on this.
Okay.
Could you date someone? Let's presume you're single. Imagine that. Presume you're single. Could you date someone
who's...
No.
Father is a serial killer.
whose father's a serial killer. Yeah. My gut said yes.
Absolutely.
Like,
me too.
I think I would go with, I mean, and again, I have to, I got to meet them because my gut says
obviously,
great,
yes,
great empathy.
Right, right.
Great
Do
empathy.
We know this when before the first date?
No. Let's say you had like a wonderful, like you've been together for like 90
a
minutes over cocktails.
90 minutes. Okay.
No, 90 minutes over cocktails. Like, oh, you have really good chemistry. You're hitting it off. They're funny. They ask you questions. They're very nice to the wait staff. And then they bring up, oh, there is something about me people seem to find interesting. my father is, you know, the hillslide baby boomer.
Uh-huh. I mean, and we went kaboomer.
Hillside baby kaboomer. He's blown up all the nurseries on the hillsides.
I mean, it would definitely give me pause.
Sure.
Because you think it's like, oh, it's like in the blood.
Well,
also,
no,
like,
okay.
What are the holidays
going to
be like?
Right.
Yeah, what kind of serial
killer? They're in jail. They're in prison. You'll never have to see them.
So it's going to be all personality. You can tell pretty quickly with the schizophrenic types.
Chemistry.
Yes, like that creepy little child.
You can tell pretty quickly with the schizophrenic type.
You know the creepy little the Slender Man killers?
Yeah. Yes.
That little child, if you're familiar with that, they were like, oh, yeah. They were like, we knew. They were like, we knew she just hadn't killed yet. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. It was going to happen. It just hadn't happened as far as we knew. Yeah.
She didn't cry. She apparently one of their early memories was she watched Bambi and she was like unaffected by Bambi's mom dying. She was like, run, Bambi. Your mom's dead. Get away. Save yourself.
Well, it is a little cloying. You know what I mean? It's a little heavy handed.
Sure.
Not the most subtle movie.
But I think I would feel great empathy. I don't want to sound dramatic, but I would probably sympathize way too much. Be like, well,
you go the other direction.
You try.
I would just be
him.
Like, I feel like my parents are murderers.
I can be your father figure, little George Michael,
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a deal breaker at all. Like, if you enjoy them and you're having a good time, I don't think it's like, oh, crazy. You hope they didn't have a traumatic.
The father, don't right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes they're the most empathetic people who have been through such distress.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait. Where is he? Is it bachelor number one?
Are you dating someone,
three?
Mark? Is that what's happening? Is that what this was?
I'm dating Richard Ramirez Jr.
cute. Good chemistry. All right. Well, if the cocktails were delicious and he was charming and asked questions, then
thank
who
you.
Are we to
That's
say
all
no?
I need. God forbid you show some curiosity about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Might I suggest Johnny Anthony, the crazy brother of Casey Anthony?
Is that the Italy one?
No.
She was the one who killed her kid. She like kept giving them like sleeping pills so she could go out and party.
Oh,
Zanny the nanny. Remember
what
that?
Was the name of the woman in they thought in Italy who like killed her roommate?
Michelle Knox. Amanda Knox.
Amanda Knox.
There you go.
I get her like and Casey Anthony confused. Amanda Cox.
Amanda Knox boots with. All right.
Nice.
Okay.
Knox boots the house down.
Well, speaking of being tired and beating jokes into the ground, today we're talking about Scream 2022. John, what's the deal with Scream in parentheses 2022.
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Scream, parenthetical 2022. Mm. It was directed by Matt Bettinelli Ulpin and Tyler Gillette, written by James Vanderbilt and Guy Busick. Uh-huh. It's the fifth installment in the Scream film series. Though billed as a relaunch, it is actually a direct sequel to Scream 4 and is the first film in the series not to be directed by Wes Craven, who died in 2015. Mm. And it's 25 years after the original Woodsboro murders, and yet another ghost face appears and begins targeting a group of teenagers who are each somehow linked to the original killings. It stars Melissa Barrera, Mason Gooding, Mickey Madison, Jenna Ortega, Jack Quaid, and Jasmine Savoy Brown, along with returning actors Heather Matarazzo, Skeet Ulrich, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, and of course, Neve Campbell.
Woo.
It was released on January 14th, 2022, and made $140 million off a budget of $24
million. Oh, wow.
Omicron.
Yeah, that's tough. Aidan Jarrett of Screen Rant wrote, though the franchise has always been a distinguished property with pure perfection, the recent return to Scream raises the bar for aspiring slashers, once again setting a standard for modern horror, just as it did 25 years ago. However, Jeanette Katsoulis of the New York Times criticized the film, stating, "Wearingly repetitive and entirely fright-free, Scream teaches us mainly that planting Easter eggs is no substitute for seeding ideas." Mm. And a sixth film was greenlit, and this with the same creative team, including Courtney Cox. But on June 6th, Neve Campbell announced that she would not be reprising her role as Sydney for the sixth film, stating, "I felt the offer that was presented to me did not equate to the value I have brought to the franchise."
Work.
But added, "To my Scream fans, I love you. You've always been so incredibly supportive to me. I'm forever grateful to you and what this franchise has given me over the past 25 years. And that is the deal with Scream, parenthetical, 2022.
So, Mono, ooh, we asked you to pick a movie and you chose Scream 2022. Scream 5, Scream.
Yeah.
Who chose this Scream?
Scream for 5.
Scream for 5. Why Scream V?
I enjoy all the Screams, and I really
You did the first Scream.
You did the first mm-hmm.
on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's not be crazy. I don't love 3. I don't love 4. But all in all, I'm still here for the whole legacy. I'm here for the story. I don't know. I really love it. I think it did so many things really, really wonderful. And I love that they were like fresh blood brought in that clearly had like a love for Scream and a really strong idea of where to take this. Because I felt like for the 9 times out of 10, they did a really nice job bringing something fresh and new while bringing the what's the word they use in the movie? What do they call it?
A requel.
Like, I thought the requel was pretty cool thesis statement for the movie.
Okay. So how would you rank the Scream films?
I think I rank them 1, 2, 5, 4, 3.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I think 3 is just like too funny. Like, okay.
I'm having too good of a time.
I don't want Parker Posey in my Scream movie.
You idiot. You want Parker Posey in every movie. Mono, you fool. No.
She's too funny in it. She totally takes me out of it.
Oh, okay. This movie was fine with Jay and Silent Bob, but now Parker Posey shows up and it's goofy. Get out of here.
I just, every time I see her on screen, I think, teacher's pet. Yes. I want to be. That's all I can think of. So I'm like, I'm out of the movie. I'm gone.
It's not her fault you haven't gone deep into her filmography. That's on you. That's your responsibility.
Fine. That's just my opinion.
It is fine.
That is fine. What about you, John? What do you think of Scream?
The Scream? I think it is very good. I agree. Like, it's not bad, but there's a part of me that feels a little bit like, I think we need a new idea. Like, it's so meta and it's so just like referencing itself to me that I didn't feel like emotional. Like, I never felt scared. Part of it too, while rewatching, I'd seen it when it first came out and I enjoy it. Like, I don't think it's bad, but I felt so many of the kills are during the day, which I think sort of maybe works against it.
Oh, I like that. When the sheriff gets killed during the day, I think that's creepier.
I thought that was quite clever.
Oh, it's so normal.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, we can disagree, obviously.
Of course. I mean,
we
I do it all it, the it just time. Felt like a lot. But I just, like, I never really felt scared and I never felt that. I felt like the characters are more like ideas and concepts rather than like actual characters. And I think it's just the first movie, I think, is a masterpiece. Like, I think the first one's great. I love Scream 3. That's my second favorite one. Scream 2 and 4, I don't really care about. I would probably put this one third, actually.
Mm.
I guess I just like odd numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, 69. Wait, talk to me why 3 was pretty fun for you.
I think part of what my love for 3 is that I watched it one summer with 2 friends of mine when I was like doing summer school.
That were giving you like BJs while you watched?
Yes, I got BJs on one. It was like just, it was sort of like a circle jerk with 3 people while watching a movie. Yeah. So, but like we quoted Parker Posey endlessly all summer. So there's a way in which I have like a fondness for it that isn't the movie, but my experience of watching it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Parker Posey's brilliant in it. I didn't mind at all. And I felt more genuine scares in that one than in this one, I would say.
Mm.
How about you, Mark? What do you bring into Scream 5?
I don't know if
five
I felt...
Cream. I prefer to call
five
it cream. Five Cream.
Five
okay.
Cream?
Yeah.
I don't think I've been scared in a Scream movie since like the very first one, like just ever since even just that opening. I don't think they've really been scary, but they're always fun. And I do think there's no such thing as a bad Scream movie. When I first saw this one, I was like, oh, this is now my third favorite. Because if there's nothing we love doing more when discussing horror franchises than ranking them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So this was but watching it again, I was like, oh, it's not as, there's like a disconnect. I think it's mostly like, oh, this really has nothing to do with like Sydney Prescott. Like, her character has like no arc in this movie. There's really no,
right.
She is essentially just like the Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know what I mean? Except she doesn't die at the end. She's just there to provide support, but she's not really emotionally invested in anything what's happening. You know what I mean? Because it's not really about her.
The actor and the character.
Yes. Yeah, which is why I'm not too mad that she's not going to be in the next one. Because watching this, I was like, I don't think we need them. I'd rather just like ditch it all completely. In some ways, I was almost more interested in Stab 8 than Scream.
Yeah, okay.
Like Stab 8 seemed like a weird, wild Gonzo movie. Like I like when franchises do like, here's one entry that doesn't make any sense. It's its own thing. Like the Amityville with the haunted clock, that kind of thing.
The Halloween 3.
Yeah. It's like, I'm pro that franchise taking some wild swings. And I do feel like this one just feels like so like safe and it's like
it's truly safe.
The Force Awakens. But I think the kills are great. The gore is great. I do think they got some very, the actors are all pretty much, the new kids are great. It's, you know, it all works. It just, I think we do miss that Wes Craven, Sidney Prescott, you know, centeredness of it. Although, isn't like the fourth one, she doesn't like show up into the last half anyways. Like they barely.
Yeah, the fourth one was supposed to be like a new trilogy that sort of rebooted.
Right.
I get it. It is such a tough thing because if it's always Sidney Prescott, after a while you're like, girl, you're going to be like, she would have been insane. Like,
well, here we
get after the first movie.
Halloween ends, like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that same thing. Laurie Strode and her have that unfortunate task of, like, how do you keep heightening? This is it, motherfucker.
I know.
Like, it's so hard to do.
Well, it's one thing when it's Halloween, because that's Michael Myers and it's the same killer. But the whole thing with Scream is, like, the only defining thread is Sidney. Because Ghostface is different every year, you know, or every entry.
Movie, yeah.
Right. And the reason behind this one was still an obsession with the Sidney story. Right?
Yeah, were like, they wanted to reboot or get them, like,
because they hated Stab 8. They hated the direction Stab 8 took, so they're bringing it back home.
Fanboys. It is funny that movie aficionados has become, right? Because 4 and 5 kind of focus on, 1 through 3 was family baggage. Now 4 or 5 is, we're movie nuts.
It's Emma Roberts, isn't that her, like, niece or cousin or
right,
something?
Right, she wants
She's related to her.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Really.
But I think now my official Scream ranking goes 1, 2, 4, 3, 5.
That's crazy.
And I would say there's not a bad, and I still think I don't think there's a bad one. 4, I like because the violence is very over the top. Because 3rd, it's pretty muted post-Columbine.
Sure.
Interesting. I didn't realize that was a contributing factor. Okay.
Columbine contributes to a lot of things.
It sure does. Michael Moore.
He's bowling for it.
He's bowling. I have a lot to say. I want to say about Nev not being there for 6, it could be a great opportunity. I wonder if the writers will lean into the whole, like, she's not coming back, you know, the whole like
she's not there to rescue you.
Exactly. Like that's the trope or the rule break of like the final girl always comes back and it's like she's not coming back. I think that could be a potentially good opportunity, but who knows?
Well, it's going to be set in New York City.
Oh my God.
We're outside of Woodsboro.
Oh my God. It's very Stabby Does Manhattan. I don't know about that.
I mean, we'll see. I think these directors are like,
we're getting far away from the, it's like, it almost sounds
but
like,
also,
just do another movie.
Yeah.
Like then no one will do that. No one, it's very few to get, when you have the Scream franchise, you got to use it.
Sure.
But I'm for them. Yeah, do something different. Sure. Why can't? Yeah, let's see what happens when we take it out of Woodsboro. Let's just see what can you do with the Scream meta-ness of it all.
You know what I thought actually would have been a cool opportunity? This movie. I was surprised. Okay. When the first kill, the lovely, what's her name? Ortega?
Jenna Ortega. Yeah, Jenna Ortega.
She's incredible. But when she doesn't get killed, I thought they were setting a precedent for that's the new rule. We don't kill you. We torture you and take you to the brink of death. I thought like that could have been an exciting new game
like
to play.
Like Ghostface's lair. Or like
no, just like
Ghostface
terrorizes
witnesses.
You.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Ghostface. I mean, he's wearing a ghost face, so Ghostface terrorizes you and leaves you to the brink of death. It's like arguably even more horrifying that you don't get the release of death. I don't know. I just thought I was like, oh, cool, that's the new rule, and then of course it wasn't. But
like Ghostface just like beats you up now. He just like walks punches away. You.
Do you
like...
remember how brutal that scene is with him and Jenna Ortega?
It's great, but I don't think they were trying not to kill her. I think they were definitely trying to kill her.
Right.
She just didn't die.
I remember whatever. I must have overthought it, but I remember there was something she said that I was like, oh, cool. They're like, he's underlining that I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to basically make your life even worse by making you regret every waking moment.
Well, that's fun.
That's just, yeah, I think that's fun.
Well, Mono, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories.
Okay.
And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and will be added to the wheel.
Or you can choose a pre-existing category.
Okay.
Got it? So this is our current top five horror movies. This is where our horror movies are ranking. With an 80.43%, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, this is the top five. And then fourth place with an 84.20%, The Craft. And third place with 85.19%, The Lost Boys. And second place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And number one gayest horror movie with a 92.99% is Bride of Frankenstein. And I should say we've done the other two screens. The first Scream came in with a 53.32 and Scream 3 got a 64.97. And that is the power of Parker Posey.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Mono, if you had to guess now, how well do you think it's going to do?
You know, I don't think it's going to give any of the tops a run for its money. Okay. Because
how about the other two Screams?
The other. You mean like the first two?
Yeah. Well, one and three.
One and three.
One and three. I mean, there is a queer, there's queerness in this. We have queer characters in this. It's They're true. Out, but I don't know how gay it feels as a whole. I'm gonna have to think about it.
You let us know how gay that hole feels. And then get back to what
you love all feeling right. A gay hole.
All right. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Mono, what would you give Scream on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Okay.
All right.
Gonna say 64. because we have the queer girls and I think Skeet, I forget his name, Billy Loomis. Billy Loomis to me is like one of the great closeted characters of cinema history.
Skeet Ulrich?
Yes.
He's have a real like that. Leopold and Loeb, like him, Billy and Stu.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So Nev Campbell seems like I bet in high school she dated a lot of guys who were not yet out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
She dated Billy Loomis in high school.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying Nev Campbell as a person in her when she was in high school.
So you're counting that towards this movie?
No, I was just saying like she has that energy.
I see.
She's like a high school girl who's like dating a guy who was like, oh, he was my boyfriends are so respectful.
Those poor girls. What about this kid, Wes? That's Dylan Minnette, the blonde.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering
about
that.
He's definitely gives me queer energy.
He's definitely yeah.
He gives me queer energy. Like,
maybe that's just wishful thinking on our part.
Well, the fact that he's the shower girl kind of gives me that queer fantasy.
He's being sexualized.
He's like setting up dinner for him and his mom. Like it was very sort of psycho.
Sushi, no less.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked when the Rager Memorial is being broken. I think this character is gay. When the Rager Memorial is being broken up, you just hear someone 80 yard, someone going buzzkill. So there's at least one gay guy at that memorial. Yeah.
Spoiler, possibly the killer. The killer's motivations are still unclear.
They were a couple.
Sure.
They kept calling each other baby.
I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it coming from him.
Oh, she said it.
Jack Quaid.
I know. I don't buy it. Anything coming from a Quaid's mouth.
Wow. You'd buy all sorts of things from Dennis Quaid. Get out of here. In his prime, Inner Space, please.
I don't know. They're shifty. They're shifty types.
Quaid. Dennis Quaid? The Quaids? The most like
Randy is bad.
Randy
shit,
is bad shit crazy.
He's enough Dennis for the whole Quaid. Family. So here's the thing: I would not date Jack Quaid if I was a great date with him, and he's like, "Oh, it turns out my dad is Randy."
Well,
Quaid.
I'm sure
like,
he's well, this crying.
That's
himself,
a good point. You don't want to be at that Thanksgiving.
I think isn't his dad Dennis Quaid?
Maybe
Jack Quaid. Is he like Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid's son?
I think so.
That would make sense.
That's
he looks
how
like
you,
those motherfuckers. Honestly,
that's how you book parts.
That's how you do it. Thank you, nepotism.
Nepotism. Hollywood, the only industry where nepotism is a problem. So what do we want to give Scream and actual gay characters?
64 for me.
You're sticking to 64.
Yes. I feel good about that.
That sounds pretty good, but I'll give it a 64.
That sounds pretty good, but
I'll give it a 64.
I want to be unique, so I'll go 64.
Unique?
I'll give it a, it's 45. It's really just that one girl, essentially.
Unique. Okay.
Unique. Giving it a 57.67, which is, hey, get this, 31 points higher than Blue Crush.
Oh.
All right. Our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons?
Ooh.
We got Nev and Courtney. At the very least.
Heather Matarazzo.
Heather Matarazzo, welcome to the dollhouse.
This were honestly Mason Gooding, queer. I forget Mason in real life. Mason Gooding is queer and pan.
Is he?
Yeah, that's how he identifies.
That's fun.
Wow. Very fun. He's such a handsome bastard.
Son of Cuba. Would you date someone who is the son of Cuba Gooding Jr.?
I think I could. Sure. Yeah, I think that. I could.
All right.
Okay, wait, what was the question, Mark?
Gay icons?
Nev really does it for me.
I think Jenna Ortega is like a scream queen.
I love her.
She's like the new Wednesday Addams. You know, she was in X this year and that's Scream.
Kind of wish she was the lead of the whole movie, frankly.
Yeah. She's better than that other girl who's a little rough, I thought, right?
Ooh, yeah. She's better than the
Melissa
other lead.
Barrera, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go 75.
I also think the franchise itself, there's something very gay about it. The Kevin Williamson of it. There's also Jasmine Savoy Brown, who plays Mindy, yeah, who's also in Yellow Jackets.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I think she is also, and she's also an out queer lady. So I think there's a, you know, another, well, that's right, the nature of this
ascending
casting, you know, ascending icons, the new talent showcase I'm producing in North Hollywood.
They're ascending literally on an escalator you stole from a Macy's, right?
Yeah, I stole an escalator.
They were abandoning it. It wasn't.
Yeah, I took it out a piece at a time. Took me 3 years. So what do you want to give this for gay icons?
75.
75.
I'm going to say there's nothing that's like huge, huge to me. So I'll go.
Not Nev Campbell?
Guess Nev. So, but outside of
Courtney
Scream,
Cox?
What is she? Courtney
Cox. Why does she need to do anything else but Scream?
I was just saying outside of this movie. What
Party of Five.
Sure. The Queen's
Center
love
Stage.
Party of Five. Uh-huh.
I think
I'll
they
go
do,
61.
John.
Okay. Okay, but I agree. Courtney Cox has some straightness to her. I mean, Cougar Town,
right,
what could be straighter?
Yeah, then a bunch of ladies getting drunk in Canada. Yeah, the straightest show I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 67. Giving an average, get this, 67.67, which is 3.34 points higher than Back to the Beach. And then I had Annette Funicello and Connie Francis, or Stevens, one of them. I had a Connie, a notable Connie.
Notable.
Legendary
notable
Connie.
All right, our next category, the queer gaze. Now, this means how much do you think the camera is providing us some queer imagery?
I mean, the most is that shower scene.
That shower
even
scene
that,
is pretty
there
great.
Was a lot of, like, at first, it took a while before we got below the nipple.
John's on the stopwatch.
Yeah.
I'm on nipple watch.
There's some intimacy between
you got a
queer
flank.
Women.
You got a brief flank.
Sure.
We
got there eventually, but it didn't feel like, definitely felt like two straight guys directing this scene.
Sure. Huh. But just the fact that they put it in, so
true
to speak,
that's something
was fun.
As it were.
It was.
There's also Mason Gooding. There's a hot sheriff in the hospital.
I mean, oh, yeah.
David Arquette.
Arquette looks great.
I was
going to
say
sexy.
David Arquette. He's back.
Mm-hmm. He's back, baby.
I'm saying he never left.
Yeah.
How about show me your 8-inch freak? Honestly, David Arquette.
I'm going to give it, I'm going to go a little higher than I thought. I'm going to go 78.
Wow.
I'm going to give it a, I don't think it's like all that queer. I'm going to have to go 58.
58. You have to.
I have to. I can't help it.
Yeah, it's definitely straight. I'll go 40. 48. Okay. Giving it an average of 61.33, which is 20 points higher than the documentary The Queen.
Oh, wow.
So
there very you go. Funny.
All right. Our next one. Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, this is
pretty much
Scream.
Every ghost face.
Tons. I mean, the I mean, jump scares are what's more of an entrance with pizzazz?
Something
more
with build up
than a jump scare,
probably. But jump scares work, too. Yeah. I especially love like Mikey at the end, Mikey Madison, when she's like half burned and just.
Oh, yeah, that one's
great.
That
was a great one.
Oh, wow. That's really funny.
And the other fun one in the hospital is like when they're about to when they're on the phone. What's her face? Sam is on the phone with Ghost. Mm-hmm. She goes, I'm just stalling for time. Fuckhead. Elevator dings. And then there's Dewey with the gun.
Yeah,
that's a classic. That's definitely pizzazz.
Like, I mean,
the first time we see Gail. And Sydney, when you first see Sydney, you hear an angel choir on the score.
Oh, yeah, they love that. I'm going to go 100. I'm not going to waste any
100.
Time.
100?
Wow. That what? What? Right to the point.
Yeah, this is 100. You're kidding. You got to be kidding me.
I'll give it a 90.
90. I'll go 88.
Okay. Mm.
I did like the knife going through Tara's hand in the opening. That was an entrance with pizzazz.
Yeah, that was wild.
And Scream's always good at just revealing the title itself of the movie.
Oh, very good.
Yes. It's always a...
It's a gratifying end of a cold open. It sucks when when it's something's the end of a cold open and you go, nuh-uh.
No.
That was not the... That was not
you
what
not
launched...
that landing.
Exactly.
I do like Fours a lot because it goes on for 11 minutes of just like...
That is
it's still
genius.
in a movie.
That
I think
is
that one's
genius.
A Hall of Mirrors aspect. That one's really fun.
It's really fun.
There's something about the Scream that I like. One of the things, the connective threads between all, like, I like how slick it is. Like, the knife isn't just a shiny, it's like chrome. And like, you brush it with cloth and it goes ching, you know what I mean? It makes a noise. Mm-hmm. They're so slick. And then I also like the through line of how no one like wants to dress up as. Like, people want to dress up as Mike Myers and Freddy Krueger, but no one wants to dress up as, like, whoever the actual killer was in Scream 2. You know what I mean?
You don't think people want to be Laurie Metcalf
for Halloween?
You know what I mean? Like, but
you
it's
have
not
been
like
invited to the wrong Halloween party.
But if you're, like, doing the number, if you, like, Google image search Halloween costumes, like, that the villains of Scream are always kind of disrespected at the end by Sydney. Like, they call you get called fucking losers and, like, you piece of shit. Like, I like that about the franchise, that it doesn't, like, put, like, serial killers on a pedestal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, fuck you, you losers. Like, in this one, they're like, no, these people are going to be
like
forgotten.
Rooting. It's not like you're rooting for
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I like that about Scream.
Yeah, I like that too. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, there's the people like Ghostface, but Ghostface is
whatever
like
you want.
Shaka Khan, every woman, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's whatever you project on it.
Exactly.
All right, our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I think a lot. There's too many powerful women in this movie for him.
Mm-hmm. And they talk about divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Queerness is just openly...
That's
just,
true.
Casual. Casual.
A queer character lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's
fornicating.
Come on.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Lady he Cop.
He probably doesn't like psychos. I don't think he enjoys meta. Like, I don't think he's a fan of, like, I loved when they were talking about legacy sequels. I don't think it's like something he probably thinks Hollywood is stupid.
He doesn't know the first thing.
He doesn't know the first thing about legacy sequels. You boob.
I guess because it's not like Caligula or Brokeback, I'm guessing like that's at 100 for him.
Sure. Sure.
I would still go 83.
83.
I'm going to go 88.
88. Nice. This was not reviewed by Christian Spotlight on the movies. Usually my go-to source for insight into the evangelical mind.
Did they the first one?
They did some sequels, but that's about it. Huh. But I'll give it an 85, given an average of 85.33, which is 45 points higher than Funny Lady. Okay. All right. Our next category, you're probably going to make up a lot of points here. Hell on Heels. How are we doing for feisty ladies?
Oh, come now. I mean,
pretty constant.
Gail Weathers
100.
Alone. Yeah.
100.
Yeah, there are no real shrinking violets in this movie. I will give
That's sort of a hallmark of
even
Scream.
That one annoying girl with the dyed hair, with the ombre Kool-Aid hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll go
she
99.
She was at least feisty in her obnoxiousness.
Right. And anyone like even the one of the killers, I mean, she's so feisty. Being able to play the game of it's probably me. I'm probably the killer. You know, like that's feist.
The confidence.
The confidence. Mm-hmm.
Do you like playing, you know, that game we've played at Mono, Murder, like Mafia / Werewolf?
I do like it.
Do you like being the murderer and having to lie about it?
It starts interesting and then it gets pretty stressful.
It's usually stressful.
I'm not as good of a liar as I would hope I would be. I got some tells.
You just start sweating.
It would probably be funner to do it with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I played a similar
really
game.
Knows you,
yeah, that's more like... fun than playing with your friends.
Well, no, because your friends can do the tells. You know what I mean?
Some people, I played a similar game like this with John Millhiser not a few days ago. And okay. Playing with someone like him, you see how people who are character actors really
lean
can
into
disappear into the lie in a way that I'm like, oh, I'm not that good. I'm
so
not that
lost?
Good.
Oh, you're playing chess.
Yes, I did lose.
Okay. That's too bad.
Sorry.
Mono, what was your score for Hell on Heels?
100.
100. And Mono, John gave it a 99. I'll give it a 95. Given an average of 98, which is the same score that All About Eve got.
Mm. Oh.
All right. Okay. Maybe that'll be what Scream 5 is like, set in the world of Broadway. It's in New York.
You mean Scream 6?
Scream 6, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, God.
Curtain
oh, God.
Call? Yeah. Oh, God. All right. The last of the canon categories. Mono, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this movie to a gay person?
I mean, come now. 100.
100.
Gotta be 100. Yeah. You gotta watch The Screams.
But no, just this particular movie, though.
100.
All right.
I mean, I really enjoy these movies.
Me
so,
too. Sure.
Yeah, I would absolutely say watch it. It's on damn Paramount Plus. Go watch it right now.
Stop watching Paw Patrol on Paramount Plus.
Right.
Start watching Scream.
One of the rare gems on the platform. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say 100. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I feel like there's not this doesn't feel essential gay to me. And if no one had seen a Scream movie, I would say the first one. And then I would say the third one, especially as a gay person, for Parker Posey. But this is good. So I will give it a 72.
Mm. 72. I mean, I do recommend the entire franchise. I mean, it's insane if you haven't seen the first one. This one does have the most gay people in it. Mm-hmm. Which is something. And it has Jenna Ortega, who's going to be a big star. But go all in on Jenna Ortega.
Big.
Invest in her stock now.
She's going places.
But this was like, I think it really went down a peg on my rewatch. Just the fact that it all feels ultimately kind of shallow. Like there's not a lot of meat there, I feel like.
Yeah.
And we don't really need Cindy and Gail in it at all because they're not really given anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels more calculated. So I'll give it a 85. that's still pretty. No, I can't. I gotta go 60. 60 is where I'm at.
Giving it an average drop.
You know, I'm listening to my heart. Giving it an average of 77.33, which is 19 points lower than The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense. All right, now we are into the wheel category.
Spinning wheel. Spinning through.
These categories are categories previous guests, such as yourself, have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it twice. Whatever categories randomly pop up, that's how we will judge the movie. And we also have a listener wheel, so we'll spin that once. And listeners have submitted categories. We'll use that. And then you can either choose a category that already exists on the wheel, or you can pick a new category, which we will then add to the wheel. Make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, then. Here we go.
Oh, God.
John,
God.
You're really dazzled. I keep thinking to you guys.
Yeah.
You're really dazzled by wheels.
I remember the time when you used to do all the questions. So this is new for me.
Yeah, that was not a good way to go.
All right. So from the movie Boat Trip, Old Queens, that had Roger Moore in it. Does this have an old queen in it?
Well, Nev Campbell and Courtney Cox, they're old queens.
Old queens.
Yeah, but there's no Leslie Jordan. Yeah.
That's what this movie needed.
It did.
Truly.
It wouldn't make it worse, that's for sure.
If Leslie Jordan was just one of the high schooler friends that they didn't explain.
But he acted like he was in high school.
Yeah, he had a backpack. Had
my God. I got to get to sixth period.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love
that. That would also bump up its recommend to a gay person.
Absolutely.
Score for
gay icons, 100%. Yeah.
It would bump it.
You gotta bump it. But Old Queens, I mean, just Courtney and Ed, but that's not exactly, they're not even that old.
Right?
For Scream Queens. Yeah.
Well,
no, for Scream Queens, they're not even that old.
I gotta say, Scream, I would say, look, Scream, it pays homage to horror movies, and horror movies or slashers pay homage to youth, the blood of youths.
Yeah.
So, like, there really isn't a lot of oldness here. Even our legacy characters, not a lot of old queens.
They're spending a lot of money on fake screams and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, creams. They're, it's a cream. That's what Courtney Cox has done to her face. Just creams.
I mean,
hey, if she's happy, good for her. Oh, I think she looks great.
She does.
They look great, but everyone here is more plucked than a chicken salad. You know what I'm saying?
If you're going to be on HD, you better be. 4K? Unforgiving.
Forget about it.
Or not okay. With these pores?
I'll say 10. Just
10.
Yeah, I'm going to go 8.
8. I'll go 15. Giving it an 11. All right, spin that wheel one more time, John. It's spinning. It's very exciting.
Oh, God. Oh, God. There's so many wheels and chunks.
A topping challenge. This is from Chipmunk Adventure, I believe. Where, like, are people trying to outdo each other? Be like, no, I'm the better one.
I do think, though, like, the killers themselves are trying to top previous killers.
That's true.
And trying to top the stab movies, you know.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's trying to out top the logic of, like, you see, I knew you would do that, which is why I did this. And therefore, I was in the closet, like, that whole thing. And obviously, the way Dewey dies is a topping challenge, right?
It's absolutely. Like, it's an honor.
Right.
I do think that part is very chilling. That part's good.
Yeah, that was probably the best kill.
Effective.
I think.
Yeah, it was
But
effective.
I think it's also because that's the character that we knew and we care the most about. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is also just like a bummer when, like, at the end, like, oh, we're back at Billy Loomis's house again, like from the first movie.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand, like, I guess I don't understand. I don't respond to nostalgia very much, I guess. So, like, I'd rather see something new and different than just, I've seen a good movie, a slasher film set on this set.
Yeah.
This house, right.
I don't need it again to, like, remember? Mm-hmm. It's member berries, you know, from South.
It's member berries. And they're like, it should be used with great restraint. In fact, I feel like, well, like, to that point, let's talk about does that moment where they're like, we're in the house. Like, does that moment. That moment doesn't quite work.
I guess because I was like, well, shouldn't we have known that earlier?
Yeah, like that. That's
because they wanted the reveal. Like, no one else knew that. Like, they're literally watching the movie in the living
room. They would have known.
No one brought it up before.
Who threw the party? Like, how is that? How did that?
The brother and sister. No, because they're the niece and nephew of Randy. They're Randy's niece and nephew. And they live in the house.
To buy the house,
I guess it's their parents' house. Or like,
yeah,
but don't you think if Scream 1 happened, don't you think you'd be like, we should sell this house?
Absolutely, you wouldn't move into a house with so much trauma attached.
Right. Yeah, but that house on that—it's a beautiful home, though. On that land, rolling hills.
Look, it's a great home. It's a great home. But there is a hole there where it's like people would know.
A cloud.
Okay, wait. What was the question again? Okay,
topping challenge.
I'm going to go 98.
98? Wow.
It's all topping. I mean,
what is this, a Treasure Island media movie?
Oh, my God.
I
prefer Raw Island Media.
Oh, I see. Tim Tales.
I love Tim Tales. How insane.
You know what's? What I don't like?
What?
Fraternity X. That floor is disgusting. You can't pick up around here?
Can you commit to the genre for one fucking second and give me some tension?
I think they think they're committing, like, this is what a disgusting frat house looks like.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm distracted by all the clutter.
Yeah. Wow.
Have you ever lived in a frat house?
No, but I just don't like seeing a bunch of shit on the floor.
Right.
You think they're going for verisimilitude, John, in the fraternity?
I'm sure some people appreciate it. I feel like all the stuff we came up with was a bit of a stretch. I don't think this has, like, a classic topping challenge to me, but I'll give it a 35.
35. Mm. Yeah, Mono's crazy. I think we all agree on that.
I thought we just brought up, like, 19 examples of out-topping each other.
They were soft. I feel like they're all pretty soft, though.
Oh,
can't top with those examples.
Those limp dick reasons. I'll give it a 50. Give it an average of 61.
Okay, so now we're onto the listener wheel. Not as many categories, but here we go.
I don't know why John likes to say there's not as many.
Because it's not as many slices.
I guess, but it's still exciting. We appreciate all of them.
Hot mess.
Hot mess. Ooh. Let me. Okay. This is comes from Cthulhu Kardashian. That's how they wanted to be credited. Can be used to evaluate a character, situation, or the whole damn movie itself. The hotter and messier, the gayer. Fair enough. Is there much hot mess in this movie?
I mean, Melissa Barrera's monologue, that's kind of like a hot mess monologue a bit.
Which one?
Mm-hmm. It's like in the first third of the movie. I want to say it's in the hospital. She's just like telling her like trauma story.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Even that was like more like, I see if I don't remember it.
Of course. I am reaching.
Yeah. To me, the messiest thing to me with many Scream movies is the logic of why the killer did it. Like this one, that to me is
this one was like written by, I think, oh, this is for people who like on the internet too much. Like not everyone's on Twitter. So I don't know if like toxic fandoms is like really something that resonates across with a lot of people because it's already a niche within a niche. But the hot mess I was going to say is when Mindy is set on fire. She's a hot mess.
That's a hot mess, literally.
That's a hot mess.
Her face is becoming a hot mess.
She's a hot mess.
Hmm.
I'd say she's a big hot mess.
Oh, yeah. That character's wild. I mean, the whole also conversation in the basement of being like, don't you know the rules? That's messy.
It's also so cavalier of like so many people have been murdered and you're all just like chilling. But I guess that's how horror movies work.
That's a big blind
eye.
If
everyone stayed home, there'd be no movie.
But right. I guess like in the other installments, you do feel like, oh, these are like really friends and like they really do like care about each other. And you don't quite get that from this one. They more feel like pieces on a chessboard.
Yeah. Mm.
And not quite. You don't get that like, oh, like Rose McGowan in the first one. You really get the sense that she is like Sydney's good friend, you know?
Bam, Sydney, super bitch. I mean, that moment really really helps land and ground their friendship.
Brings a whole new dimension.
Yeah, interesting.
So what do we want to give Scream in a hot mess?
61 for me.
61.
I'm going to go 51.
51. Why can't you two just get along? I'll give it a 56. Give it an average of 56.
I got to say, too, before we move on, because Scream is such an interesting genre of horror movie where, like, everyone is smarter than an average slasher.
Yes.
Which is why it's not as messy as a traditional slasher. Everyone, like, people are so articulate in a way that is, you know, very filmic.
It's all part of the slickness, you know? It's like, it goes down. So it's like, even the dialogue is like, in the original, especially. So it's got snap, crack, razzle dazzle, zazz,
pizzazz.
All right, Mono, the time has come for you
come
up with it. You could either come up from a category or use a pre-existing one.
Like you could use breath acting, which came from Scream.
Yes. I want to do. I'm just gonna say identity crisis.
Like that. Talk that out a bit. What do you mean?
You know, it's something I think that's one of the reasons I think we connect so hard with movies like this, and definitely, you know, the Scream movie, the whole like, am I the killer? Are my friends my friends?
When I watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I the killer?
Is it me this whole time?
The audience,
obviously, our lead is having a crisis of mental health.
Yeah,
which I think is something you feel as a queer person, right? Like when you're coming out, you're like, "Am I fucking crazy?"
We see our father in our heads telling us what not to do.
Our bloody fathers.
Yeah.
Our goddamn bloody fathers, it is.
Yeah. So I think we connect with that. So identity crisis is big, I think, in a lot of horror, and like, or it's like. Even if it's a motivator.
Well, I also think, like, who is the killer? This is a crisis. We need to know their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't you say the movie itself, someone has an identity crisis? Like, is it a sequel? Is it a reboot?
What
are we doing? Who are these new characters? Why is this happening?
Exactly.
Does the story need to be told?
Right.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's also like, it's also the nature of our lives. Being closeted versus being out, I think, is very real to us.
Who am I in this space?
And then even once you're out, who are you within queer spaces? How do you?
Oh, that's a whole new thing.
A few weeks ago, though, I was very proud of myself. If I could say that,
please,
is that okay?
You may.
Is that okay?
Let's hear it.
I was at a pool party, Mono. I believe it was your birthday party, and I got into a pool.
Uh huh.
And there were people in the pool I didn't really know, and I was able to go in and talk. And they were like,
"You hate
people.
Sharing water with people."
Well, I'm normally just like, I don't know anybody in the pool, so I'm not going to go in. But this time, as I've gotten older, I care less.
Yeah,
smart.
Hell yeah.
And it was great. I had some lovely chats.
See? Nothing like
I get
a pool
that.
Chat with a stranger.
Yeah, I 100% get that. There's been some real hurdles I'm conquering as well in terms of just letting yourself be your space, particularly in queer spaces.
Yeah.
Letting yourself be yourself and not giving a fuck where the chips fall. That's something you get to do as you right. as we age as queers.
It's an evolution for all of us.
Yeah.
So what do we want to give Scream an identity crisis, Mono?
I mean... I'm just going to say 100 because
100.
That's me.
It's your category. Sure,
the most identity crisis we've ever seen in a movie. Sorry, Fight Club?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, like I was Sybil? Sorry, Memento.
Remember that movie Identity where every person was like a different like split personality like in a hotel? Remember that movie?
Fun. Yeah.
It wasn't.
No.
Fuck.
I will give it a 90.
90. John wants you to know you've been censured. I will give it 70.
Wow.
We're now 86.67. I am the most. It was a twist of my final diabolical act. All right. Now we are into the bonus category.
So these categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So we're going to rate them from 0 to 10. And it's that percentage bonus points.
Okay. See? Wow, that's wild. This is a Mario Party wackiness.
It really is.
Oh, it's just getting started.
All right. The first one, musical potential. Could you see a musical being made out of this particular Scream movie? I was thinking, though. Oh, go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to say, I was in a musical parody of the first Scream movie.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know if this, I don't know. Would you do Scream 5 as a musical? I probably wouldn't.
I mean, it only came out 9 months ago. Maybe right. a little soon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can make the musical whenever you want. It's not like you've got to wait a few years before you make the musical.
I was thinking it'd be fun to do like a musical set in the town of Woodsboro itself. And I was thinking of like, oh, like, you know, the opening song to Beauty and the Beast, Belle.
Yeah. Mm.
And I have a lyric. There goes the baker with his red right hand. That's all I had.
Okay. One line and done. Mark Ryan.
But I thought it'd be fun. Just like, oh, it's funny. Like a musical's in this world of Woodsboro that's had so much like mass murder and like, you know,
I love
tabloid
that.
Scandal. But I don't think this particular Scream.
No.
Unless they just conflate all of them and come up with a new Scream story.
But a Let It Go about your twisted interior father personality finally getting to break free.
Yeah.
A Let It Go. I mean, that'd be good.
I'll use my don't fuck with the daughter of a serial killer.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm going to give it a 4. It could be fun. I'll give it a 4.
I think I'll give it a 1. I don't think
1. John was in the Ultimate Scream musical and we'll
the musical sequels never do well, so
what if they brought back Love Never Dies, John? Cuz that's the Phantom sequel, right?
That is true, yeah.
So I almost feel like that's a no-go now.
And it's called Scream 5.
No. Just like now that Phantom is closed, well, there goes the market for the second one.
Mm. There was no market for the second. I saw
really?
It. I was here in LA. It's not very good.
What did they drop on the audience?
Nothing.
Ugh, I'm out.
Mediocre lyrics.
I'll give it a
poor value for their ticket price.
Yeah.
Sore butts. Messy book.
I'll give it a 2. Give it an average of 2.33. All right. Our next one, a queer menace. How are we doing on queer menaces?
Hmm.
This doesn't quite feel queer, the Ghostface. In this,
there is something about anyone who wants to take up the mantle of a movie-based killer feels something like anyone that into movies always comes off a little. There's a little bit of like, I feel like that's less than, I think we have more representation within like cinephiles than we do within the general population.
Controversial opinion. Yeah. Every single Scream killer is at the very least questioning.
On the spectrum.
They're questioning
somewhere.
A lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. They're some sort of on the
spectrum. Suck a dick or kill a bunch of people.
They're on some sort of sexual spectrum. You can't convince me they're not all.
Wasn't that everybody in real life? is sure. on some sort of sexual spectrum, but sure. you think they're deeper towards the bi spectrum.
I just feel like,
or are you saying bisexual people are more likely to be homicidal killers?
Yes,
is that really probably. Something you want to be saying, Mono?
Well, put it on a t-shirt, bitch. yeah, no blood. I think something about their bloodthirst is like, it's like, why are you so angry? You know, it's like, because
I was born this like, way.
Exactly.
Maybe like in their mania to kill, they're just willing to do anything and anyone.
Mm. Ooh. Ooh. Okay. So wait.
Queer number. Menace. Queer Menace. 0 to 10.
2. 2.
I'm gonna have to go 1.
Yeah.
I also will go 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense. Giving it a 1.33, tying it with Funny Lady. Oh. All right, our next one. Character actress makes a big swing.
But
I think Mickey Madison.
She's pretty fun when her pleading. Yeah. I like when she's pleading, like, I was radicalized. All that yeah. stuff is really fun.
Uh-huh.
Just her.
And at the end, Michelle Barrera killing Richie. She's literally taking a big swing with the knife.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Pretty big.
Jenna Ortega's great.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Right.
I don't know if she's taking a big swing
so
here,
good.
But I mean, it's hard to be like, oh, a hurt, injured person and still like convey like strength.
So hard. She's so, oh my God. And she's
not, you
know,
even
she,
that. It's not like, it's like, but the character, like the character choices aren't like, whoa, you really went for broke and it could have failed, but it, you know,
right.
Mm, yeah. Because, well, the only one I would almost give that to is the character who plays, which I hate this character, Randy's whoa. Sister, the Randy's sister character. You know, she's like a
Heather
mom.
Matizzaro.
Heather Matizzaro.
I don't like her in these movies. I
don't
think
she's they quite
talented.
Know what to do with her. Right.
Yeah. I don't, but I'm always like, why is she? That's another reason why I don't like 3. I'm like, she's, her placement is so clumsy. In
it
this
feels
movie.
Like she probably had a lot of scenes that were then like cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give it a 2.
A 2.
I'm going to have to go 1 again.
Great.
1 again. 1 again. I'll give it a 3. Give it an average of 2. All right. Going to make up a lot of points here. Macabre. How macabre is Scream? Pretty dang
lot of people die.
Right. I mean, it's shy of something like Audition in terms of macabre. But,
you don't leave Scream yeah. going like, that was harrowing. It's not harrowing.
Yeah. You're going to sleep that night.
Right.
Unless you were the Leeds acting coach.
You're like, God damn it.
God, I really fucked up.
What happened? I would just have to. I got to go 9 because it is macabre. The,
a lot of
the
murder.
Feeling being willing to murder for fame or storytelling is pretty fucked up.
Seeing the ghost of your serial killer deadbeat dad.
Oh, sure, that's macabre. Yeah.
Getting
macabre.
A call on a landline.
Oh my God. Getting both Courtney Cox and Nev getting stabbed. And then they're so patiently waiting care like that. That part always, I don't like that part where they're like, they've been very much injured and they're like, very like, whatever.
They get over it pretty
been
quick.
Been there, done
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I think while there is all the death, there's such a remove and there's such a meta-ness to this movie that it like prevent. It's what really keeps it from being super creepy. But a lot of people die and it's fun, so I'll give it a 7.
A lot of people die and it's fun, so what can you do?
Yeah.
I too will give. No, I'll give it a 8. There's something also macabre about like resuscitating a dead franchise.
Fuck.
Do you think it was dead? Like, does Scream? I know Scream 4 was supposed to be a trilogy, and that sort of disappointed. But
I mean, it hadn't been around. It's been like, what was it, like 10 years difference or something
between 4 and 5?
Yeah, I think that was 2011. So a little over 10.
There you go.
I mean, there was the TV series in between.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. People seem to like that.
People seem to like it. All right. The last of the bonus categories, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, Jasmine Savoy Brown is indeed a queer lady.
There you go.
There we go.
That's it.
That's pretty much it. I wasn't able to look up the no named character that she makes out with.
Okay, I mean, I'm just gonna go 5.
A 5.
Yeah, I'll go 5 as well.
Yeah,
I too will go 5. Although, of all the gay roles, they were 100% played by gay people.
That's true.
But maybe there's just not enough gay roles.
But there's just not a huge gay. I mean, there's also a problem with horror. Horror is so straight. Horror's based on the pop culture experience, or we should say like the high school experience. And the high school's experience, as told via John Hughes, is a straight white world.
Yes.
The jock, the nerd, all those characters are viewed through the lens of whiteness, which of course then fucks the chances for there to be queer people or authentic people of color.
Mono, you didn't see They Them? That didn't light up your feed when that was it? You weren't just like, I can't wait to see this game changer of a movie.
God, aren't we cruel? We're gays. We're so bad to our gay creators.
Did you see They Them?
I did not.
It's deserving all of this.
Okay.
Yeah, it stinks.
Dang.
Well, that's too bad.
It is too bad. All right. Now we are into the iconic category.
So these categories are wider, farther reaching, more large umbrella categories. So it's 0 to 225.
All right. The first one, homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Scream?
From 0 to 225.
Yes. Well, the lesbians make out for a bit. We have that shower scene. It was briefer this time than I remember it being. Like, it was shorter.
You've really thought about that shower scene a lot, huh?
It was like in my notes from like in my letterbox review of the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, I remember. Thank you for the shower scene. But then seeing it now, it's like, oh, I'm not stoned this time watching it.
Sure.
<It'll do laughs>
it didn't make as much. But
it'll affect time. Yeah,
it's nice that's the moment where we get that, you know, that's the flesh. Yeah. We don't really get that from the other.
But it's just him. It's not like him and another dude.
Right.
True. There's also, you can see a guy pissing against a brick wall.
Okay. We don't need to know about your kinks, Mark. Yes. We didn't ask about that. I'll go 110.
110.
I'm going to go 84.
84. I'll go 105. Giving an average of 99.67. All right, next one. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this movie and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I mean, the big thing is Ghostface, but it's not like unique to
this Ghostface.
Movie. Yeah.
I think maybe the Burned Amber. That would just be like a fun version of a reveal. You know what I mean? You start off
setting yourself on fire. Yeah.
You know, you do that with cellophane or, you know, get something. I don't know, fake it. And then you're burned afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. There's something there, but yeah, there's not like, I mean, we, of course there's something. I mean, okay, look, I would love to see a good spoken word lip sync where we get some Gale Weathers.
But you're not going to choose it from this one.
I'm going to take it from this movie.
No, she doesn't say much at all.
Am I ready? Never. For this? Never. For this? Never.
I'm going to go 110.
110.
I think there's not much here. I'm going to have to go 45.
What about Gail's iconic blue sweater? What did you say, John? 95?
I said 45.
45. Cruel. You thought there's more inspiration in Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm here for that. That monster's scary in the
trolls.
Movie.
Yeah, that movie. I'll give it drag queen inspiration. I'll give it a 85. Given an average of 80. All right, our next category, Queer 101. How much is this Scream movie an essential queer text?
This one.
This one specifically, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say like the original ones are because of like the Kevin Williamson involvement.
But yeah, I think that like because it's so pop culture obsessed and gay culture is pop culture obsessed, there's something there. There's some.
But it's also
there.
Like pop culture obsessed in a way that all pop culture is just obsessed with itself right now. And like remember how we were really good 20 years ago? Let's keep doing that again. Like you get it with Ghostbusters, you know, you get it with even the Halloween and Star Wars and Marvel is all just like a snake eating. It's all an ad for itself now. Right. So that doesn't feel like necessarily even distinct to this movie. It's just a snake eating its own tail at this point.
There's nothing like if I was teaching a queer cinema class, there would have to be like this had to be level 500 before we get to Scream 5. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing.
Sure.
It's not 101.
But I would argue you want to see what people are doing now. Or like you even as a you want to see what people are doing when they try to comment on pop culture.
Oh, so you would sort of have a class where you watch the first one and this one.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying cautionary tale, but it might be worth it to be like, and this is, you know, perhaps what are the pros and cons of commenting on pop culture to the nth degree?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 110.
110. This should be somewhat considered an essential gay text, says Mono.
Yes.
Interesting.
I'll give it a 27.
27. I'll give it a 12. Giving it a 49.67, which is 1 point higher than Funny Lady. Wow. Honestly, fair. You could watch two of these in the span of Funny Lady. That's not true, but it feels true. All right, last of the iconic categories, Camp Factor. How campy is Scream?
I thought the flashbacks with Skeet Ulrich were pretty campy.
Very campy.
Also, not flashbacks, but like the
right.
I don't know if they de-aged him or whatever, but it looks exactly the same. Like, it's pretty incredible. Usually, this de-aging technology looks, you can tell, like it has like a CG floaty face quality.
It might have helped that it was like a sort of like a brain. Like, it's not, we're meant to believe like, oh, this is her memory or some sort of psychosis.
Right.
I think they also like, he didn't move much, which I think probably makes that de-aging technology less noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, he was mostly, like, he wasn't, like,
and he
moving around.
And he looked pretty damn good, too. Like, that's what that
still
helped.
Today.
Absolutely, yeah. He could still get it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd shoot that skate.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. I would take the skate in my mouth, and I wouldn't lose interest. I wouldn't lose interest. Yeah, wow. I would keep the momentum. I promised. Before Skeet and post Skeet and go, I still like this.
You can keep Skeeting.
So then if you're dating someone who is the son of a serial killer, you'd be like, let me see your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, get to the dad.
Aren't we going
to
ask that anyways, regardless of who it is?
So wait, what's the question?
Camp factor, how campy?
I got so excited by Skeeting on me.
Sure.
Pretty campy. It's not a John Waters film, but it's pretty campy. So I'll say 110.
110. Really got political.
I think this is more meta than campy.
Interesting.
I will give it a 95.
95. All right. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Discussing elevated horror with a stranger. Unsettling text messages. Jack Quaid apparently went to adorkable class before filming. A contemporary high school student referencing Edward Snowden. Not caring that much that your good friend almost died. Insisting someone else's sister is not cool. Wood paneling. Accidental use of an emoji. Obi-Waning Dewey. Memorial Home Theaters. A blessed universe where Jamie Kennedy is dead. Who orders extra edamame? The same woman who has a periodic table of vegetables on her kitchen wall. A film score building up tension only for nothing to happen. Seeing an actual celebrity couple that broke up in real life reunite in a movie where they have also broken up. Judging a reporter for doing her job. Getting a phone call from your ex-wife as you die. Helping a morning show host commit murder. The stab movies force us to imagine someone out there being a poor man's Jamie Kennedy. Being horrified to learn you're in an iconic house. And finally, a movie daring to tackle toxic fandom. I'll give it 100.
You named so many things.
Giving it an average of 101.67, which is 70 points lower.
You're a part of toxic fandom. You just proved you're a part of it.
Never claimed I wasn't. All right, finally, we're into the crown jewel.
These categories we don't rate, we just say yes or no.
Mm-hmm. All right, this first one, this might be interesting. 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Scream have a positive portrayal of homosexuality? It does. She's not a huge character. I think she's in like 3 scenes. Like, she's kind of barely in it.
Right. But unlike no one's punished for being gay.
Correct.
So many things punish. If you're a gay, you're dead. Or maybe violently killed.
Or just ignored.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't exist. But in terms of like, I don't know. I do think, yes, she is presented positive, but like, she's just not in it that much either. You know, one of the leads.
These characters are more like, they just come out and be like, I'm this person. Like, it does. They don't feel like characters in this movie that much.
They feel like screenwritten. Which is
this is my, I'm this point of view. I am this point of view. Mm. You know, that's what it sort of felt like to me. I'm going to say no.
What do you say? I could see how it, I don't know. And she is like fucking cool. You know what I mean?
She is fucking cool.
She is really cool.
I do like, 110.
That's not how this works.
Yes or no?
110.
Do you think this should get the bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality, Mona?
I do. I really do. Like, come on. There's the gay characters. They're there. They're just part of the texture. They're
they do
not
get a
asked,
make out.
Yeah, and they're not asked to like perform their gayness. They're just gay. They're just there. That's a revelation, especially for horror.
Well, horror? Have you seen Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker?
No, I haven't.
You gotta watch like an 80s horror movie. But okay. there's the interesting thing, it does have like the PE coach in it is like a gay man, but in the movie he's like never punished. He's like helpful, he's like cool, and like the movie like supports him and loves, and it's a movie from like the mid 80s.
Okay.
Check that out. It's on Shudder. Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker.
Okay.
Mono?
Yeah.
Convince me. It's gonna get the bonus.
Yes.
Okay.
It gets it.
Yes.
Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
This is not the movie Stonewall, so this will not lose 50% of its points.
Thank God, man. What a piece of fucking shit. Dangerous piece of film that actually should be stricken from the record.
Well, we'll be talking about it in about next year. So.
All right.
All right, that's it. We're done.
So you'd never told us how well you thought it would do at the beginning, but now how do you think it's compared?
I refused.
You refused. You wanted to think about it a little more. You've seemed preoccupied this whole time. You were probably thinking about it. So how, like now that we've been through it all, how do you think it does compared to the other Screams?
Okay. I'm going to say it's gay. God, this is hard. This is my same issue from earlier. I'm a middle of the pack.
Okay, you think it'll be between Scream and Scream 3?
Yeah.
All right, so that's between a 53.32 for the original Scream and a 64.97 for Scream 3. Well, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,745.49 points, Scream, parenthetical 2022, has scored 1,831.16, giving it a percentage of 66.70, making it the 67th gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as Hackers, but gayer than Meet Me in St. Louis.
Wow.
So it's the gayest of the Screams so far that we've done.
It's the gayest Scream, like 2.5 percentage points.
Yeah.
So that 50% bonus.
50% bonus really did a lot.
I was told we have emails to read.
Oh, that's right. We've got some emails.
Ooh.
Okay, we got a bunch of emails. We got one from Tommy Schwanfelder. Tommy Schwanfelder. Tommy's written a bunch of times. Tommy writes, "Hello, longtime listener, several times caller. Tommy here. I'm about a third of the way through the Priscilla episode and loving every second of it. I was introduced to this epic film when I was in high school after receiving a copy of it on VHS from my mom's then girlfriend, now wife, for Christmas."
Oh,
hello. Let's hear it for that. "I remember watching it with my older sister and we loved it and both laughed so hard at the ping pong ball moment. Come on, Cynthia's expressions and those sound effects. Forget it. Agreeing with you 100% on the soundtrack is amazing. I bought the CD ASAP at my local record store. You made a joke about cramming it with more gay divas, but the $2 million budget might not allow for it. You even mentioned Bette Midler. Fun fact, she was a producer on the Broadway production in 2011. My husband and I saw it on one of our honeymoon shows and adored it. Can't wait to listen to the rest of the episode. Thank you for all you do and the smiles you bring."
Wow. Mid-episode write-in.
I got it.
That's the victor. Yeah. That's a victory.
What a fun, absolutely, like, gay honeymoon. Like, it sounds like they went and saw like a bunch of shows.
They probably went to New York and saw a bunch of Broadway
shows.
Oh,
New York. That's a good place to go if you want to see a bunch of shows.
That's true. There's so many there.
That or Amsterdam.
Sure. We got another email from John St. Dennis titled Fall Motivar. And he says, CCC, absolutely do this. The question is, which films to do? Explicitly gay ones like Law of Desire or campy ones with divas like Women on the Verge? Probably a mix of both. And of course, All About My Mother, because All About Eve. This year and next year, thank you. You're welcome. Cheerios, John.
We are doing next three episodes, two Patreon, one main feed, are going to be Fall Motivar. And they haven't chosen. Essentially chose one from 80s, 90s, or 80s,
yes, you
or
did
2000s.
That.
I did that. So we're doing Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, All About My Mother, and then Pain and Desire. Pain and Glory. So that's the one I haven't seen. So those are the three we're doing. That kind of captures the breadth of his work, ideally. But maybe we'll do another one next year. There's plenty to choose from.
That's
you seen any Almodovar movies, Manu?
I'm very embarrassed to say I saw one in college and I do not remember the name, but I saw one in college.
Antonio Banderas in it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe. Yeah, no. I need to. I've heard. I mean, I've been reamed quite a few times.
Excuse me?
for that. That
we're talking about movies.
And
right now,
I would also like to share that I haven't seen any of the movies.
They stopped mid-ream too. I'm leaving. Well, Mono,
such a treat.
Thank you for doing this and sticking around.
Thank you for having me.
Your third time here, I believe, at the very least.
Oh my God, I'm part of the TriStar Club. Yeah. Can I? Is there a TriStar Club?
Sure. With Pegasus on them, yeah.
Yes.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, sure. I mean, look, just follow me at my name on the social media, Mono Agapian. ManoAgapion. Just listen to my podcasts, Drag Her. We Love Trash. And I'm concluding my definitive music video podcast with Oscar.
Yes.
Really?
We're getting so close to the top 100 music videos of all time. I recommend it. It's music videos through our gay lens.
You guys did REM, but didn't do Losing My Religion. Is that correct?
Well, we've already covered Losing My Religion. And in fact, you'll be glad to know it's, I think, like between 1 and 3 of the best music videos of all time.
I mean, that's Tarzan for you, that director. You know,
I mean, right? I just, that video gives me chills.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, very queer too. Very queer.
Mm-hmm. And you got Michael Stipe and Tarzan together. What could be queerer?
Come on.
Thank you so much, Mono. Always a delight. You can follow us at Two Old Queens on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, Two Old Queens. Sure. TWO Old Queens. You can follow me on Letterboxd where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yeah, so you can email us at twooldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. We love hearing from you, especially a mid-episode email.
We love that.
Love it. Love the passion.
Sign up for the Patreon to get those two other Almodovar episodes. We got some fun guests lined up for them. So I think you like them.
We got all of our Patreon episodes, not just those two.
Yes, Mon. We got Child's Play, Nightmare on Elm Street, the entire franchises, more Christmas than you need.
More Christmas. We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, you can buy some stuff for yourself and your loved ones, and a percentage of all the profits goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you are helping people out.
And that's it. We'll see you next time for Fall Mudavar kicks off.
Exactly. One series down and a new one begins.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.